our way through the Lord's Prayer. And up to this point, the parts of the prayer that we have focused on have been focused on God, on praising God and seeking God's kingdom. And we should begin our prayers with a focus on the Lord. That's what Jesus wanted the disciples to do, and that's where our focus should be also. Now, from there, Jesus taught the disciples to pray for daily bread. This phrase is contained in both Matthew and Luke's versions of the prayer, but it's worded just slightly different. In Luke 11:3, it says, "Give us each day our daily bread." And then in Matthew 6:11, it reads, "Give us this day our daily bread." But to deepen our understanding of daily bread, we turn to a parable that Jesus told. It's the parable of the rich fool. This parable is found in Luke chapter 12. And if you have a Bible handy, I invite you to open to that part of the scriptures. And I'll be reading verses 13 through 21 of Luke chapter 12. Let's listen now to these words of scripture. "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions.' Then he told them a parable. 'The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves and are not rich toward God." Amen. What did Jesus really mean by saying, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Well, the obvious answer is that he wanted his disciples to pray that the Lord would provide and sustain them for their physical things, like food and water and clothing and shelter. Jesus wanted them to practice a discipline of praying for their daily bread. Jesus also told them to not worry about tomorrow. Soon after he instructed them on the Lord's Prayer, he spoke of the birds of the air, who neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet God still feeds them. In other words, Jesus was telling his disciples to not worry about the needs they think they're going to have tomorrow. Their job is to stay focused on the present. And that's an important message to remember when we're praying for our daily bread. When we approach God with our needs, we may come with a long list. We may be asking God for stuff that we think we're going to need tomorrow. But when we lose sight of the present, we start asking for more. Instead of asking for today's bread, we ask for a week's worth of bread or a month's worth. We make requests like this because we want to feel secure, and we think having more is the answer. But the danger, as N.T. Wright puts it, is that we let greed get in the way of grace. To illustrate this point, Jesus told a parable, the one I just read, about a rich fool who knocked down his barns to build bigger barns. He wanted to store up more for himself. And in some ways, this reflects our culture, where people are consumed with consuming. People feel like they need more and more stuff to live a quality life. But getting more stuff doesn't necessarily meet our needs. In fact, a lot of the stuff that we think we need ends up in a landfill. A few years back, I helped my mom clean out her garage. We filled up the back of my truck with stuff she no longer wanted. And then we made a trip to the dump. When we got there, I noticed all the stuff that was being thrown out. This was stuff that people bought with their hard-earned money, stuff they thought they needed, and now it was nothing more than trash. It's easy for us to confuse our needs and our wants, but when we pray for daily bread, we're not asking God to grant us every last desire that we have. The Lord certainly wants to take care of us and meet our needs, but that's different from giving us everything we want. When we pray for daily bread, what we're really doing is declaring our trust in God, that the Lord will take care of us. The rich man in Jesus' parable didn't live with that kind of trust. He didn't think God was going to take care of him. So he tried to secure his future by heaping up riches. But as that parable shows us, the future wasn't in his hands, and it's not in our hands either. And for that reason, we should learn to trust that God will take care of us and meet our needs. Praying for daily bread isn't just about asking God to meet our physical needs. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that it goes deeper than that. In praying for daily bread, he wanted them to understand that they're also asking God to meet their spiritual needs. In the 6th chapter of John, right after Jesus fed the 5,000, he spoke of himself as the bread of life, and he said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And Jesus then ended this teaching by stating that those who come to him will never hunger. Of course, Jesus' opponents took issue with what he was teaching, and they criticized him. In fact, they criticized him quite a bit throughout his ministry. And one particular criticism that stands out to me as it relates to this subject is that Jesus was called a glutton and a drunkard. And that's a reference from Matthew 11:19. But that phrase actually comes from Deuteronomy 21, where the Israelites were told what to do with a stubborn and rebellious son. Parents were instructed to bring their son to the elders and say, and I'll just quote for you from Deuteronomy 21. It says, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." And the recommended punishment was to stone him to death. So when people called Jesus a glutton and a drunkard, they were saying something much more than calling him a party animal. It was their way of saying that Jesus was rebellious and disloyal to the traditions of Israel and that he deserved to die. But Jesus wasn't a rebellious son. He was loyal to the Father in heaven. And his eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors was actually a sign of the kingdom of God. One of the main symbols of the kingdom is found in the Bible, that of a party or a festive banquet. In Isaiah chapter 25, we find this image. In verse 6 there, it says, "The Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow." And then Isaiah goes on to say that the banquet is a sign that God is saving his people in wiping away all of their tears. Now, to me, this sounds wonderful. So why was Jesus criticized again and again for being a glutton and a drunkard? I think the simple answer is that Jesus was celebrating the kingdom with the wrong people at the wrong time. Instead of fasting during the religious holidays, as all the religious leaders were doing, Jesus was throwing parties and festive dinners. And when he was asked why he was doing this, he suggested that God's kingdom is like a wedding and that the wedding guests can't fast while they have the bridegroom with them. Now, in praying for daily bread, Jesus was helping his disciples see that they're asking God to give them a glimpse of the kingdom of God. and the needs that they have right now, like their hunger for bread, actually point beyond themselves to the promise of God's kingdom where there will be no hunger. So understanding these different layers of what Jesus meant when he said, "Give us this day our daily bread," should in turn shape the way we pray, and it should shape the way we act. And I think it does so in four distinct ways. The first is this, and I think it's the most obvious one. Praying for daily bread is about bringing our needs and our desires to God. We find examples of this throughout the Bible. Naomi, for example, prayed that her daughter-in-law, Ruth, would find a husband. And God answered that prayer by giving her a husband and making Ruth the great-grandmother of King David. Hannah prayed for a child, and God answered her prayer by giving her Samuel, who would later become a prophet, priest, and judge in Israel. And the disciples in Acts prayed that Israel would become the greatest nation in the world. And God answered their prayer in an unexpected way by sending them out to be ambassadors of Jesus, to announce him as the new king. Now, these examples teach us that we should bring our needs and our desires to God, but we shouldn't expect God to grant every wish and dream that we have. When we pray for daily bread, we're asking God to satisfy our needs and our desires in God's way and in God's time. And when we pray for daily bread, Jesus is also teaching us to pray for specific needs. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray for their daily bread, he wasn't inviting them to lift up some kind of vague general prayer like praying for world peace. He wanted them to clearly state a specific need. So, for example, instead of praying for world peace, you might pray for peace between you and your sibling or between you and a coworker, which really could be something that you need. And the point is that we need to be specific with what we're asking for. And when we pray for daily bread, we're led to act in a third way, that we should look beyond our own needs. I think it's impossible for us to pray for daily bread without being aware of the millions and millions of people who don't have bread right now. And that awareness should lead us to help those who are hungry and suffering. This is something we can do individually with specific people. We can also work with organizations like Stop Hunger, Rise Against Hunger, or the local food bank. We can take this even a step further and support programs that work for a just and fairer economy. Let's remember that from a biblical perspective, a broken economy is one in which some have too much and others don't have enough. According to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, the person who has too much forgets God, while the one who doesn't have enough is forced to steal. And in doing so, that person profanes the name of God because stealing is a sin and it corrupts the makeup of society. Now, the scriptures call on us to work for a world where no one has to steal and no one has so much that he or she will forget God or deny God's existence. Followers of Jesus are expected to share their excess, the equivalent of having more than their daily bread, with those who are in need. So instead of building bigger barns to store up our treasures, we should share our abundance. And that's a message that Paul shared with the Corinthians when he was asking them to contribute to an offering that would help support the poor in Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul wrote this. He said, "I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, The one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. In praying for daily bread, Jesus is inviting us to see the needs of others. We are invited to see ourselves as standing alongside those who are hungry, praying on their behalf, and sharing what we can, all of which serves as a sign of God's kingdom. And finally, praying for daily bread leads us to worship God by celebrating the Lord's Supper. The bread and the cup are a symbol that God has answered our prayers for daily bread through Jesus Christ, who takes our needs to God and who shares God's gifts with us. Now, some people even speak of the Lord's Prayer as the highest form of prayer and worship. It's through prayer and worship that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to share God's love in tangible ways with our world. Without prayer and worship, we will struggle to live in the way that Jesus expects us to live. And so for reasons like this, we are invited to pray for our daily bread. And when we pray in this way, we're recognizing that God is concerned with all of our needs. And at the same time, we are making a commitment to do everything we can to help those who don't have enough. Now, this brings us to the table where we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. And for those of you watching at home, I invite you to gather up your communion supplies now. Some bread and some juice will work just fine. The bread and the cup are symbols of our Savior Jesus Christ, reminding us of His life, His work, and His ministry. These symbols remind us of His death, His resurrection, and the promise that He will come again. And so as we prepare now to receive communion, I invite you to join me in a time of confession. Let us join now in this prayer. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we confess to you and to one another that we fall short of being all that you've created us to be. We've not loved you with our whole hearts, and instead we've pursued our own way. We live as if we don't trust that you will take care of us. We also confess that we've not loved our neighbors as we should, and often there are many neighbors who are invisible to us. We're so busy that we don't notice those who are different or needy or living on the margins. And Lord, we confess that we have failed to love ourselves as well. We don't take care of our bodies or our spirits as we should. We cling to things like bitterness and anger rather than seeking your healing and your grace. And for all of this, Lord, we pray for your forgiveness. And as we come to the table to celebrate communion, we offer you, Lord, our gratitude for the gifts of grace and mercy. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness and reconciliation with you. We thank you for the abundant life you offer. We thank you for all the many ways you care for us. And we pray that you will empower us to live in faithful ways that advance your kingdom in this world. It is in the holy name of Christ we pray. Amen. In celebrating communion, we do remember that night when Jesus gathered his disciples together in the upper room for one final meal. And while they were at the dinner table, Jesus took some bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and then he shared it with his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us do likewise. As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup, And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink from it, do so in remembrance of me, and let us do likewise." As supper was ending, tradition has it that the disciples sang a hymn. And now Paul will lead us in a time of singing, and I invite you to join along in singing with him.